I think they like you, Steve.
Hello, hi, welcome to Taco Tuesday!
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling.
Good morning, 720 WGN. Justin Kaufman here. Steve Cochran Show. Mary Sandberg, Dave Bennett, Mary Vanderbilt, Steve Grzanich, Steve Cochran. Got a great show lined up here on 720 WGN to take it through the morning. Very excited to be here on a beautiful Tuesday. Yesterday, of course, the rains came through, but looking good for Michael Kopech Day. I hope. I know you're not a weatherman, Dave.
No, but I think the forecast's pretty good.
Right.
Sounds like
it's exciting. It's exciting.
It is.
I feel like, you know, as a White Sox fan, you temper your expectation a little bit. But the idea that they are pushing that this is a huge event is always a good thing.
I just hope he fares better than the kid that the Twins trotted out last night. It got lit up and didn't make it through the second inning.
Well, or
one of their top pitching prospects.
Or what was it? Steve Stone told us yesterday that his first two at bats was a single and a home run. That was the so when he came up. So a lot of times I remember listening to one of my favorite shows, The Whip Around. Fox, and they were talking about how it goes one way or another for a rookie pitcher. You either, you know, have a great game or a serviceable game, 4 or 5 innings and wow the crowd, or you have a bad outing.
What did Stoney tell us yesterday? He said look for him to try to throw it through the catcher in the first inning.
So be interesting. Are you excited, Mary? Is this a big thing for you?
I am. And last night we were flipping between the VMAs and the White Sox game, and we were listening to Steve Stone and Jason Benetti were talking about some fan that Jason talked into going up to watch that one game in Minnesota last night. And then he said, now are you going to come back and watch Kopech's day? And they said, no, they're going to stay and go fishing. And so he and Steve were ripping the guy on the air for, you're going to come up here for one game in Minnesota, but not go to the
fishing.
Most significant game in Chicago.
They've already traveled all the way to Minnesota. So
I know,
they might as well take advantage of it.
I think Jason was kind of saying that, they're already going to be up there. But
Steve would let
Steve
him up
was
the hook.
Like, you got, how can you be missing Michael Kopech? How do you say his name?
Kopech
Day, yeah.
It's also
Blackhawk night.
Oh, yes, it is.
Yeah, so DeBrinket is first pitch.
Alex DeBrinket is throwing out the first pitch tonight. And
we were all supposed to be there tonight.
Yeah, I know, I know.
I know you're going, but I think the whole show is going to be
there. I know,
tonight.
I will be there. I'll be there.
But then we couldn't get tickets.
Oh. Yeah.
Nobody wanted to help us. We were supposed to go with Ro's show.
Yeah, we were doing a double show thing.
Ro keeps going, so maybe he's getting no problem getting
tickets.
Going.
It would have been a whole Kopech Kumbaya thing tonight for
perfect.
The two shows.
Well, it looks like I'm watching Bachelor in Paradise again.
I'm not sure if you guys caught this, but we have a new side hustle option that I heard on the opening bell this morning. They need bus drivers.
Oh, there we go.
And we could all do the afternoon shift for schools.
Yeah, there you go.
So there's a shortage. And
I was thinking about that.
What do you mean? You take a 3-hour nap. That'd be a little difficult.
I could rearrange my nap time. I mean,
nothing like a surly, tired bus driver.
Yeah, that's all we need.
That's what you...
you'd pass the test.
I can't do the bus driving until I know what the rules are in 2018. I mean, what is the interaction you can have with the kids?
Oh, I don't know, but my grandma's second husband, he was a truck driver, and she worked for the schools, and so she got him a job part-time bus driving because they needed bus drivers at the time, and sometimes he would drive our bus for our grade school, and I didn't want to admit that was my grandpa because he was mean to every kid that came on the bus, and he made people sit down and, like, not talk.
Did you ever confront him on that,
when
it was dinner time or something like that?
No, that's when kids didn't say stuff to adults. So I was like, I would go sit down on the bus, and I'm like, please don't yell at anyone.
Papa
Hugh.
Nap.
I know, he was kind of, that's
Was there a point where the kids figured out that's your grandpa, and then they had something on you?
No, I don't think so. I think I kept it very cool, and I only, acknowledged him when I got off the bus.
Right.
But it was it was ruining my reputation. You know, like I was worried about my reputation.
I always thought
everyone's like, "Who's the new mean bus driver?" And I'm like, "Oh my god, that's my grandpa."
That's grandpa.
You know, I have to tell you that there is a possibility here that the bus driver can be somebody you remember forever.
Right.
I still remember the bus driver that when I was in grade school, Mr. Danini was the bus driver. He was the nicest man you could ever. He took care of everybody on the bus like they were his kids.
Well it's nice. That's the way it should be.
Yeah.
One way or the other.
The bus driver, one of the lines they always said that drove me crazy is, "Can you guys be quiet? I can't see." And now that I drive, I understand what that means. But as a kid, I'm like, "What do you mean you can't see?"
I've never understood that. My father used to be going, "Shh, shh, shh, shh. It's traffic." What? What? You got to hear traffic? What does it have to be quiet for?
You got to know where you got to use all senses, right? That's the.
I had bus driver Fred. Fred was fun.
There you go.
Yeah.
I never took a bus.
We didn't have buses.
Yeah, we didn't either.
They didn't invent them by then?
Yeah. Catholic schools, no buses. The
buses didn't exist.
Horse and buggy.
We had to walk in our bare feet.
No, we walked.
Ours was Catholic school as well, but we shared buses with...
Yeah, we did too, but I didn't live...
That's why we started later and got out later, because we used the public school buses or something.
I didn't live far enough away.
Yeah, we had an 8-mile commute.
Yeah,
exactly. Kids today just
use... I'm not kidding. It was 8 miles.
Yeah, kids today, they just use their cell phone. They don't even use a bus. They just...
Right.
Uber.
Time travel.
Uber.
You'd have to wonder generationally, like, what will Miles tell his kids? Right. You know, when I was your age,
right,
I didn't have a laptop embedded under my right forearm that I could operate with my eyelids.
I used a phone to summon the bus.
Right.
Yeah, I used to track it, and sometimes it wouldn't be there exactly when it said.
Top six at six. We're in the old new studio today, so everything is to the left.
To the left.
We'll come back to the top six in just a second. And at 6:17, oh, my name has changed, by the way. I spent the afternoon with Abigail yesterday. She has changed my name from Pops to Popsy.
Oh, so that's good.
I'll be Popsy.
We'll take Popsy.
That's interesting.
Popsy for the rest of the afternoon.
Or Potsy. You sound like Potsy.
What was different from day to day that it became Pops to Popsy?
She just thought it was hysterical.
Has she been watching Happy Days?
No, she just thought it was the funniest thing that ever happened. Your name is Popsy.
Love it.
Yeah, let's get when you're 2.5, right?
Can we all call you Popsy?
Yeah, I insist. Popsy. Absolutely insist.
Can't wait till Duffy does that promo.
And now, Popsy.
Yeah, we got to get her to record that for sure.
Good times. We had an ice cream date, too. We went to, there's a gelato place in Lincoln Square. Mm-hmm. And we just took the place over, hanging out. So, good times.
You like to clear the place. You have someone comes in and goes, "Hey, Popsy's in the
Popsy's
building.
Popsy's in the house.
Everyone
get out.
All right, wrap it up, Popsy.
6:18, we'll come back, get your top six in a second at 720 WGN.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks. With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Let's go live to Mary Vandeveld for item number one. Lakeshore Drive resurfacing starts when? Thank you, Mary, for that update.
Sorry. I'm not sure because of the rain, so it might be changed, but I believe it was supposed to start...
August 27th.
August 27th.
Okay. I see the signs every morning when I come in. It says August 27th to October 6th.
But there's something about them starting some of the pre-construction today, but you're right about the rain. Is the rain causing havoc in any other expressways and things like that?
Well, a lot of times they postpone stuff, so, you know, that we'll see. But
nothing's more deadly than drizzle.
So it'll be the one-lane closure in each direction on LaSalle near North Avenue.
Good. Yeah, it's not good.
But it's on LaSalle, not on the drive?
Well, it's supposed to start 9 a.m. today.
But I thought the Lakeshore Drive resurfacing was on Lakeshore Drive.
I think it's going to impact the right lanes and the on-ramps and off-ramps.
Wally Phillips spinning in his grave
right
now. So
this is August 27th. Okay, yeah. That's next Tuesday, right, yes. Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's actually get some factual information out here.
Well, yeah, thanks
Lakeshore Drive. Yeah, well, have you met me? Lakeshore Drive, is it going to be resurfaced?
Well, eventually, yes.
Later in August?
Starting August 27th.
Okay, but as of this morning, nothing.
They're starting the pre-setup, like underneath it.
Yeah, they're putting out four cones.
No, they're not going to resurface anything today.
Yeah.
Okay. That will not be done today, right. No.
If they do anything like the Skyway, where they just put cones out on a Sunday and everyone has to stop for a 30-minute wait, and then you go through the construction zone and there was no construction... really makes you feel good about the weekend.
Eddie Johnson seems beyond frustrated. The police superintendent response to the violence this weekend. Let's not forget the police aren't the ones out there doing it, he said. We can only do so much. Quote continues, we cannot be on every street corner every moment of the day. We just can't. It's an impossibility. It's unreasonable. There's no police department in the country that can do that. He's right. It doesn't help, but he's right. I get his frustration, but that's one of those things that you probably need to do, not say out loud.
I'm not sure that the ire is directed towards the Chicago police in this instance from Chicago residents or people from around the country or the world. There's something larger at play, and it might be poverty, it might be inequality, but it also could be gangs and guns and the way that lost respect for human life.
Yeah. But there are a lot of people who don't who do blame the police fairly or, in my view, unfairly. But I just don't need the police superintendent telling me they can't do it.
It probably could have been phrased different. And I think the only thing is when there's lack of arrests, that's when people ask. That's not always on them either, but I think that's the perception.
Item number three, and this is a really tough story. If you have kids, I don't want you to listen to this. Listen, I don't want to tell you this story. This guy in Denver who allegedly killed his wife, his pregnant wife, and his two daughters, who I believe are aged 3 and 4, is now claiming that his wife killed the daughters. This would be the wife he admits murdering. He claims he came home after, didn't come home. He came back in the room after saying that he wanted a divorce. He had been having an affair with a woman from wherever he worked. And when he went back upstairs, his wife had choked one of their daughters and was choking the other. He snapped, choked her. And this is the worst part. He then took the three bodies, buried the wife in a shallow grave, and took the two daughters and threw them in an oil tank, which had something to do with his job. That level of evil, that level of sick, you can't comprehend that. So, anything's possible. Maybe that is what happened. Maybe his wife snapped after he said, I want a divorce. Who knows? But they're now going to try to get DNA from the dead daughter's bodies to see if the wife is possibly implicated in this horrific, horrific story. Her father, the wife's father, spoke yesterday. I don't even know how he was able to talk because you think about it. He lost his daughter, his future grandson, and his two granddaughters all in one insane period of time. I don't know. Again, there's evil in the world, and then there's that. Next, the Pope has released a letter to the world's 1.2 million Roman Catholics. That came out yesterday, I believe, when we were still on the air. That after a grand jury report in Pennsylvania revealed a cover-up of widespread sexual abuse of children by hundreds of priests over 70 years. The letter included, in part, we showed no care for the little ones, we abandoned them. The question now is what happens. It's got to be more than a letter. It's got to be direct action, including the guy who runs the Catholic population of Washington, D.C., who was in charge of the Pennsylvania side of things while all of this was going on. And it takes more than we're going to have a lot of Catholic bishops look into it. It needs to be an independent investigation of some kind.
Yeah, I was going to say, the Vatican is not known for letting independent investigations into their church. So what short of that can be done from that level, from the Pope? I mean, it really is just words, right? There's not much they can do because a lot of this is going back into history. It's a 70-year period.
Well, but the Pope has the ability to get rid of anybody. Anybody who works for the church.
Yeah, I guess you can go and extricate or get rid of the people who were in charge or covered up or however, but would that be enough to change the culture in the at least the U.S. Catholic Church?
As a Catholic, I would say that would be a nice start, just start firing everybody that was involved, and even remotely involved, even touching the involvement.
There's a legislative push in Pennsylvania to change the statute of limitations retroactively. It won't pass, but that conversation is going on as well.
Plus, there's not a lot of faith that they have it under control currently.
Well, it's Justin was talking about this yesterday. Yeah. You had the cleanup, alleged cleanup in Boston, And this was going on while that was going on, and this continued at least through 2017.
The question, I mean, maybe the Pope can do this, but the question may be that there needs to be a grand investigation and audit of all major archdioceses around the country. I mean, I think that we have seen here in Chicago, over time, in different cardinals, there being questions or at least allegations, and priests who were found guilty, who there was questions of cover-up. That's just here in Chicago. I mean, you talk about... We're seeing right now in Pennsylvania. We're seeing in New York, Boston, Washington, D.C. So I think that's a great start to say, let's get a comprehensive, first off, a comprehensive report on allegations of...
Well, it needs to be civilian Catholics. It needs to be Catholic parishioners who aren't a part of the church, who are willing to come in and of different demographics and take a look at this thing.
Justin, you hit on something really important there. You said, and Steve, you said around the world. We've just been talking about the United States not the developing world, where priests are not only the parish priest, but they help, you know, in the community. They run a school, perhaps. All of these kids around the world. If this is happening in the United States, you know it's happening.
Well, and the two growth areas for the Catholic Church are Africa and South America.
Exactly. That's where priests are in abundance, and we are hurting. So we do not have enough priests at all around here. I mean, we just lost our priests.
This is not a recruiting commercial. This is not going to bring more people in. Should you watch commercials? Will you pay for a subscription? What does Netflix cost now? I don't even know. It's $15 a month?
Yeah, it's $11.99,
something like that. All right, so they're now running more promotional videos than ever, and people are complaining because they don't want to watch commercials. They're not technically commercials, but they feel like commercials. Would that cause you to give up Netflix? I don't think anybody's going to give up Netflix.
We're not.
You could skip them right away.
I would say one of the biggest pet peeves, and it makes everyone in my family gets angry at me, but I boo the movie screen when a commercial comes on before the movie. And I'm not talking trailers, things like that, but it's
the movie screen can't hear it.
Yeah. The Colgate or the Coca-Cola or 9 minutes. I was at one of the theaters just recently, I think it was the AMC downtown, where they did like 5 minutes of straight up TV commercials.
Right.
I paid $17 for that ticket. Mm-hmm. I thought that the unwritten
I used to love previews at movies. It's not 20 minutes. It's literally 20 minutes before the movie comes on.
Promotional content. Yeah, the idea of telling me how to brush my teeth.
I don't want to watch 9 previews.
Absolutely. But there's an expectation that you're going to get previews. The idea that I have to sit through a Colgate or a CarX commercial before I see my Mission Impossible, that's a deal breaker.
Wait till we get you cards for kids in the theater.
See, maybe that'll do it. Maybe it'll finally be an uprising where people are like, I can't have that jingle before I watch The Spy Who Dumped Me.
And our good friend Sister Mary Jo is getting her own bobblehead from the National Bobblehead Hall of Fame Museum. $33 if you'd like to buy it for the holidays. Available to pre-order now. $25 and $8 for shipping. You got to wait until December before you can get your hands on Sister Mary Jo. $5 from every Sister Mary Jo bobblehead goes back to Marian Catholic.
Okay.
I don't know why it's only $5, but, you know, it could be nothing. So $5's okay.
What happened to the duck?
Well, we took the duck out today because we had a lot of dark news.
Oh, okay.
Back with the headlines.
I was actually going to play this.
Popsy.
That's solid. Back with, what are we doing? Headlines next on 720 WGN.
That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
The Steve Cochran Show presents The Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
Kid of the Week every week. And when you have a Kid of the Week that you want us to know about, just go to WGNradio.com and tell us about it. It's a simple little thing. You fill out a little form. That's how you fill out a little form. You tell us about the Kid of the Week. And whether it's a kid you know or not, doesn't really matter. We just want to hear about great kids doing great stuff, and you want to make sure we know about it. So WGNradio.com, Kid of the Week, and you're good to go. Lucas Cohen's on the line now. Let's go to Lucas. Good morning, Lucas.
Good morning.
How old are you?
I'm 10 years old.
Yeah? You having a good day so far?
Mm-hmm.
What's a good day for a 10-year-old? Like, what's on the agenda today for you, Lucas?
Well, right now I'm eating breakfast, and I'm going to go to school.
Okay, and what school do you go to?
I go to Elmwood Elementary.
What's your favorite part about school?
Maybe art.
Do you draw? Do you paint? What do you do?
Well, right now we're doing a self-portrait, but you can do clay objects, you can draw, you can paint.
Do you think you'd like to be an artist when you're a grown-up?
Mm-hmm, maybe.
Yeah. Would you charge me to come see your stuff in a museum?
No.
I could get in for free?
Uh-huh.
Would I just have to use your name, say I'm a friend of Lucas?
Yeah.
I like the way you think,
nice.
Lucas.
A plus one.
Right? I'll bring you. Mm-hmm.
Good start.
Lucas, are you, do you like to play sports?
Mm-hmm.
What do you play?
I play tennis.
Oh.
Well, right up Sandberg's alley.
That's my favorite sport.
And I also like to play soccer with my best buddy, but I'm not on a team.
Oh, but you always like to kick the ball around?
Look at that. Mm-hmm. A kid playing soccer on their own, not on a team.
Yeah.
That's like unheard of now.
Yeah, so he's outside getting fresh air.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's your best friend now?
Well, right now I have two.
Okay.
What are their names, Lucas?
Their names are, well, Damien, but his last name is too long for me to pronounce.
Oh, that's fine. We're not running a background check. Damien and?
Ralphie.
Okay. So you guys hang out and do stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, you sound like a fun guy. What do you want to be when you grow up?
Maybe an artist.
I guess we covered that territory, didn't we, Lucas?
Hey, Lucas, it's...
Or a movie maker.
Oh, I got to make movies.
Okay.
Ooh.
So I'm assuming school just started back up for you. How's it feel to be back in the classroom and back to school this year?
Pretty good.
Is it... Are you in fifth grade or sixth grade?
I'm in fourth.
Oh, fourth grade.
Fourth grade, and is there a name for your school, like a nickname? Are you the Flying, the Screaming Eagles or something, or what's the name of your school?
The Panthers.
Ooh, yeah, Panthers, cool. All right, so let me tell you about Lucas. Lucas has been in a enrichment program at his elementary school for the last couple of years, and Lucas is working hard to make sure his grades are good. How are you doing on that part, by the way?
Well, my dad... kind of said the whole thing. Last year, I was in enrichment for the end of the year and in the middle part of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm not in enrichment, but there's a chance I can get back into enrichment.
And enrichment helps you get your grades up? Is that the plan?
Well, it's advanced placement.
I got it. Got it. It's for smart guys like you.
Mm-hmm.
This is from your dad. My son Lucas is a joy and a source of happy and brightness in our life. We hope you feel the same when you meet him. Well, we certainly do by talking to you, Lucas. And this is what I'm talking about with Kid of the Week. You got Kid of the Week and a kid that's getting great grades. That's great. That's all you want.
And I was talking to Lucas's mom, Stephanie, before Lucas came on, and she was saying their family has had some struggles in the last 5 years. And then Lucas, unfortunately, last year at school, had a few issues where he had to learn that not everyone is always so nice. And so they really like celebrating this. They had Lucas later in life, and they really like celebrating that he's such an awesome human to know.
Great kid.
Yep, and yeah. Everyone that meets him likes him, so...
Here's the thing, Lucas. All throughout life, you're going to meet people who maybe aren't as nice as you are and aren't very nice people in general. And
uh-huh.
What you have to do, and I'm sure your mom and dad have told you this, what you have to do is just know that you being nice changes the world in a positive way. So I hope you always are. I hope you're always like that, because you seem like a nice kid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, it's nice talking to you, buddy.
Nice talking to you.
Hey, Lucas, do you have a favorite food?
Right now, it's currently chili.
Chili?
Yeah, nice chili. Call. Yeah. Nice call.
We're almost in chili weather, you know?
Uh-huh.
Lucas, doesn't chili make you gassy?
No, not me.
Okay, good. But your dad probably, huh?
Mm-hmm. Very.
I love this kid.
You're the best, Lucas. Thanks, buddy. Hey, Lucas, how about some pizza for you? Would you have pizza?
Yeah.
All right. I'm giving you a pizza from Lou Malnati's. And how you doing on headphones, earbuds? You know, the things you shove in your ears and listen to music. You got a new pair of those?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to give you an app gift card. You can go shop around for a new one.
Thank you.
All right, buddy. Keep being a great kid. Hold on.
Thanks, Lucas.
That's Lucas. I like that kid.
You have to cause trouble, don't you?
I just wanted to find out if his father was gassy.
Okay. That's my point.
Did you make your father gassy? Yeah, a lot. A whole lot. What time is it? 6:50? Well, why don't we do this? Steve, are you gassy?
Not today, no. I'm all right.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank
What's
you.
Coming up at 7?
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Thank you, Anna DeVlantis. I haven't seen Anna in a long time. Is she still working?
She does.
She's good.
Yesterday.
We like Anna. I don't like that row creep that works with her, but I like Anna.
Ann and I live not too far from each other, so once in a while I'll see her walking the dog. I'm like, Anna!
Oh, my God, that's Anna DeVlantis. Yeah.
It's, at some point, we have to replay, you know, when Ro was on with us last Wednesday, he only wanted to talk about himself, and so you two...
What? Ro wanted to talk about himself?
That's weird.
And you two gave him a hard time, so then he was discussing it Wednesday afternoon with Anna and Violetta and Kevin.
Okay.
And he was, can only describe it as whining about you guys not caring about him.
Listen, there's a lot of people I don't care about, and Ro's near the top of the list. Well, I love Ro. You know that.
I know. But he, in discussing it without you two there to defend yourselves,
right?
It did make you come off
across
as bullies.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He said that it was like he was the Violetta of the morning show, meaning the punching bag, I think. And she said, see how hard it is? So mm-hmm. We'll have
it's not, well, it's not easy being Violetta.
Yeah, walk a mile, Ro. Now we know it's right.
Ro and I've told the story before, but Ro and I were always too cool to get along with each other when we competed against each other. So I did the afternoon show here for years, and he was on in afternoons on LS, and he used to kick my butt. I mean, when he was on with Gary before Gary lost his mind, you know, they had really good numbers, and their ratings were good, and we were just trying to catch him. So I'd see Ro at the auto show and stuff. And we do the cool guy nod, but we wouldn't acknowledge each other beyond that. So once he came here, we had a lunch. We got along right away. We get along great. Now I'm saying that. I'm saying we get along great. Behind my back, I have no idea what Ro says about me.
Well,
so much stuff.
That was the day that no one was asking you how your day was going. All our
you guys
guests
do that a lot.
Yeah, and so Ro was the last guest that day, and I think it was your final straw. So you said you're not going to ask about me, and that's how the interview started off. So
I could see why you guys didn't get along when you were mostly because of Ro's leather jacket. Have you seen the old promotional shots of
Ro's?
My favorite thing. You had one of those.
Well, you never took a promo picture with a leather jacket.
That's my favorite, with sunglasses and the leather.
That
jacket.
That was a '90s thing.
Yeah, that's a very
John. What
90s
was a comedian's
thing.
Outfit? Comedian's outfit was sneakers and a blazer.
Sneaker and a blazer with the arms of the blazer pushed up.
Yeah, now, after watching the style after watching the VMAs last night is face tattoos. So that's next. The next generation of radio guys got to have face tattoos.
I'm thinking about getting a tattoo right on my neck.
No, they're doing it under the eyes. They're doing it on the scalp. They're doing it on the cheek.
That seems like a decision you may regret later in life. I don't know. Text question is, what do you not want your kids to know you did? Or your grandkids, for that matter. 708 texter, I was hit in the head with a rubber male appendage. 815.
I hope your kids don't find out.
815, I had lots of unprotected sex.
Oh.
Grandma, okay. What does that mean? Yes, Sandberg?
Well, now I'm thinking I shouldn't say it.
Right. Well, you consider it while I tell you this.
I got yelled at by my husband, though, a couple years ago for telling Catherine that I was boy crazy and kissed a lot of boys. And he's like, what? As if that's going to set her down the path to kiss a lot of boys. But I don't think I'm supposed to lie to her about things.
No, it's interesting you say this because there are things. Dave, you can back me up on this, Mary. There are things you and John, you absolutely should lie to your children about.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Small. Oh, they're called little white lies.
Yeah. And it's for their own good.
Yes.
But if then she starts kissing boys and doesn't tell us because she thinks she can't say it, you know, I thought I was opening the path for discussion.
No. You have to have a double standard as a parent. And the double standard is whatever I did happened when I did it. I don't want you to do it.
I like that because I know my dad, what he would say to me about drugs or alcohol was just like, hey, you know what? When you're 21, you can do whatever you want. And his whole point was, don't do drugs or alcohol because it's going to stunt your growth when you're 15, 16 years old. And I, you know,
they stop stunting your growth at 21.
Yeah, he's like, you know, that's the idea. You can do whatever you want. But so he made it more of like almost like a growth medical thing.
My dad told me, hey, I've tried it. It's not that great. I prefer beer. And I'm like, okay. So then I stuck with beer.
There you go.
Well, I think the best answer is you look at your kid and go, just because I'm an idiot doesn't mean you have to be. 708, I grew up living next to a park for 20 years. When we were kids, we'd play baseball. And when the ball would roll onto the grass across the street, the old man would walk out, pick up the ball, and keep it.
Oh,
we got tired of it.
That's terrible.
So we took a whole box of fireworks and blew up the side of his house when we were 16. Hope my kids never find out I did that.
I hope the authorities don't find out that I ever did that.
That's 1970, great. 1 week before high school graduation, spent 7 hours in the Portage, Indiana County Jail.
Ooh.
Was caught with three girlfriends and four guys in a cooler full of beer. That's just part of the story.
Oh, okay.
847, hope my kids never find out. I snuck out at night, hitchhiked to my boyfriend's house, and back without getting caught. A lot. 708. I never want my future kids to know that I've smoked weed and had a three-way.
At one time? Is that all one story?
I don't know if it's a connected story or not. 708. I never want my future kids to know that I... Oh, that's the future kids thing. Let's see. 847. Smoke pot drove home from a party backwards for a mile and a half. Thought it was hysterical.
Oh, God.
Terrible.
847. Hope my kids never find out I got arrested for cow tipping.
What are you talking about? That's the lead. That's the Oregon on later. That's when you say, kids, gather around. I want to tell you a great story about when I cow tipped.
Yes.
And these two, 630. I hope my kids never find out I went to see Barry Manilow. Here's my man card, Steve. And 815. I hope my kids never find out the decade 1978 to 1988. And it continues. Things I never want my kids to find out I did. Back with the news in just a moment. Is Walter joining us this morning?
Yes.
Great Walter Jacobson will join us this morning. The 50th anniversary of the 1968 convention that changed America. Walter Jacobson was there, and we'll talk about that coming up on 720 WGN. But first this. News. First news. That's my point there, Super Joe. My point is it's time for the news. Super Joe's so disappointed in me.
Hayes hands it off to break a left circle. Shoots, he scores! The Cat rips it past Markstrom into the top shelf. Boy, that was a precision shot by Alex DeBrincat.
White Sox! White Sox! Go, go, White Sox! Let's go, 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 White Sox!
How many guys are thinking Super Joe's lost his mind? Is it Alex DeBrincat or is it the White Sox? What if it were both? Huh?
You mean Alex DeBrincat's going to play for the White Sox? I thought it was Michael Kopech.
Maybe. It's a big night on the South Side. Alex DeBrincat, one of our favorite members of our Chicago Blackhawks. Remember the first time he was on the show last year? We hung up with him. We thought, well, that kid's pretty good. Because we thought he would stink in his first interview, and he was great.
We didn't think that.
No, that
Steve.
Was the general thing. You and I have talked before, and Dave, I was trying to be positive, and you said, this kid's going to blow it.
I remember it being mostly Dave, actually.
I do, too. Yeah, that's how I remember it. But DeBrincat, not just great on the ice, great on the phone, as he joins us right now. And no, that's no pressure, and we'll tell you why we're doing the White Sox combo platter here. Good morning, Cat.
Morning. How's it going, guys?
Didn't you think you were better than we thought you would be last time you were on?
I don't know. I don't remember that long ago.
You don't remember? I thought I was special to you.
No, I remember what we were talking about, not how I responded, though.
Oh, no, you did a nice job. How's it feel becoming a fan favorite as fast as you have?
Yeah, it's awesome. I think, coming to this city, they've opened me, they've welcomed me with open arms and, really got behind me and have been great to me. So it's been a lot of fun to play here.
We'll tell people why we're tying the White Sox in just a second, but Dave, say hi to Kat.
Hey, Alex, good morning. So you've been playing in the Chicago Pro Hockey League this summer, and I think you've got one more game left, if I'm not mistaken, tomorrow.
What, are you stalking him? How would you know that?
Well, because it's out there, Steve.
It's a matter of public information.
What's that been like for you, and what's it been like playing with Kaner this summer?
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I think, there's a lot of great players in that league, and it really gets you in game shape and gets you ready for the season and, just gets you that much more excited to play some real games. And, it's just a great time. And playing with Kaner is always a treat. He's incredible and definitely a fun guy to play with.
Last hockey question before we jump to baseball. What are you better at this year than you were last year? What are we going to see you on the ice doing this year that we didn't see last year?
Hopefully holding the puck a little bit more. I think I've been working on, my skating, so hopefully that'll help me
too.
Be able to, handle the bigger guys in the corner. So that's something I've done. And, I'm just really excited to get the season started. And, it's close to the season when the ticket sales just go out yesterday. So that really got me excited. And, I'm pretty pumped for the season.
Favorite restaurant in Chicago since you moved here? This answer could get you free food for the rest of your life. So make sure you get it right.
I don't know. There's so many good ones. Mm-hmm. I really like Sunda's a really good one. Yeah, we go there a good amount, so I like that a lot.
Look at you, Mr. Upscale. all right, Justin, say hi.
Hi, Alex. What, you know, for you to have a season like you guys had last season, how important was it for you to be in a locker room with veterans, guys who have won championships before, to understand how to get through the down times?
Yeah, I mean, all those guys have had great careers, you know, the core group of guys there. They've won cups, they've been on winning teams, and, you know, seeing how, you know, kind of frustrated, I'm not really frustrated, but not happy with what we were doing last year, it really shows me, you know, how to handle it and, you know, just battle through it. And then, you know, at the end of the year, already started talking about the next year. You know, once that last game ended, you know, we're talking about the next year and what we need to do to be better. And you know, I think, you know, they've obviously won a lot and they know what it takes to win, so they kind of pushed a message through to the young guys. You know, it needs to be a really tough summer and you know, really work hard over the summer to get back to where we want to be. So that was a big thing I learned with them, is just, you know, even if anyone had a good season, you know, don't be satisfied with it. We need to win. And, you know, that's kind of the message.
Do you pay attention to the old guys like Kaner and Taves, or as we like to call him, Yoda?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, those two guys I grew up watching, and, you know, it's incredible to be on a team with them and be in the locker room with them. You know, they've won so much, and definitely good guys to look up to and model your game after.
All right, we're way long in hockey. Let's talk baseball. Did you ever play baseball? Did you play baseball? Pardon? Did you play baseball when you were a kid?
I did.
What?
I did. I played a few years when I was. I played 2 years when I was 9 and 10, I think, and then when I actually moved here and played. And went to Lake Forest Academy. I played JV baseball there. Wow. So
okay, so you know your way around a baseball diamond. What position?
I played shortstop. When I was really young, I liked to play catcher, but usually shortstop.
Shortstop, you got to have a gun. You got to have an arm. So I like your chances tonight when you throw out the first pitch.
I don't know. I haven't thrown a baseball in a while, so we'll see how it goes.
Guaranteed great field tonight. And Dave, who is he going to be compared to immediately tonight?
Well, did you see the... Did you see the first pitch thrown over the weekend, Alex?
Sister Mary Jo, the nun.
Sister Mary Jo.
Yeah, I did. I did see that. That's a tough act to follow. So.
She threw a strike, dude. She threw a strike.
Yeah, it was a bullet. Right. Yeah, I might just try to lob one in there and not look dumb. So we'll see what happens.
Did you practice at all?
No, I haven't. Maybe I'll throw some today. Just get warmed up.
I would.
Steve will come over and have a catch.
Yeah, I'll
with
catch
you.
With you. Yeah, absolutely. Now, you're going to have to help me back up once I get into the catcher's position, but, you know, you can work on that. Sandberg.
So, you know, Alex's nickname is Cat, but he has a dog, and his dog has his own Instagram account.
What's the dog's nickname?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Ralph's his name. His Instagram's Ralph _ Dobrindog, so...
The Brit dog. How great is that?
In his little bio, his I'm Ralph. I don't even know how to say what kind of dog that is.
A Shiba Inu.
Okay. My dad likes hockey, but I prefer tennis balls. Hashtag Debrindog.
Debrindog. That's fantastic. Don't embarrass your dog tonight. Throw a strike.
Yeah, all right. Sounds good.
I mean, you're a parent in some form here. Look, a reminder, tickets for Blackhawks 2018-2019 regular season home games on sale. There can't be any tickets left. Are there still tickets left, Dave? Let's go live to Dave at the United Center. Are there any tickets left?
I have to pull up the ticket base on my computer here, and I will try to find out.
It's worth making a call to find out.
I think it's worth checking out. Okay. I think you might be able to find a ticket or two.
Well, that's incredible. It's going to be a great year, and we look forward to seeing you tonight. You know, it's a big night. This kid, Michael Kopech, everybody's waiting to see him, and then you're going to be there. It's a big night, dude.
Yeah, it should be fun. I'm excited to go down there and, you know, be a part of that. It should be a lot of fun.
You got any advice for a prospect coming in for the first time, other than what you've already said? Apparently not. All right, that's good. You've covered it. Now, listen, don't strain yourself.
By the way, that kid, Kopech, as you put it, Steve, is 2 years older than Alex.
Is that in dog years or people years?
That's people years.
Yeah. Great talking to you, man. And it's been nothing but fun since you got here from watching your game. And we want the whole team to have your kind of fun this year. So between you and Kaner and Taves coming back with a better year, it's going to be a great year for the Blackhawks.
Yeah, hopefully we can do something special. So thanks for having me, guys.
All right, don't bounce it tonight, man. Don't bounce it.
I won't. Man. I'll try not to.
You bounce it, you're going to have to answer to the nun. All right, hold on. Alex DeBrinkert, there you go.
You should give away a pair of those tickets.
For what?
For the Blackhawks, regular season game.
I should?
Yeah.
Should I do it now?
You should, yeah.
What's Alex's number? What's DeBrinkert's number? 13? Let me go to 12. We should have asked him. It's 12, isn't it? Isn't the break at 12? Yeah, I think he's 12. All right, so Justin, what number of caller do you want to go to?
Let's see here. Let's just carry the 8 to 4, 14 divided by 3 to 7th caller.
7th caller. All right. Justin's a math major.
Love that.
Yeah. 7th caller is going to be a big winner of Blackhawks tickets, and if you're going to Guaranteed Rate Field tonight, like you are, you're going to the game, right?
I am. Kopech Day.
Yeah, Michael Kopech tonight.
And, someone needs to do a meme. Wasn't it the Kopechs and the Burbs, the movie with Tom Hanks? The neighbor's family, the Kopechs?
Were they the Kopechs?
Yeah, I think they were the Kopechs.
Wow, what an odd memory.
And he's like,
wow, that's so...
Do you have any other useless junk in your head that we wouldn't know?
Out there all day. That's about a 10 on the tension meter there.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
A couple more people have texted in with stuff they don't want their kids or their grandkids to find out. 815, skinny dipped with two guys. 708. I know there's something, but I can't remember what it was. I just know I don't want them to know. 815, anything between 1985 and 1988. I'm 49 now. 773, too many things to text. Ouch.
Everybody is acknowledging it, but they're also not acknowledging it.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, there's a little bit of that, yeah.
I can relate to that 1985 period.
Oh, I did a ton of stuff.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Well, okay, what?
And then 708, hold on to something. 708, I don't want them to find out I made love to their mother in a cemetery. Wasn't that a song?
Yes. Yes.
So,
by Air Supply.
312-981-7200, things that I want my kids or grandkids to know I did. Lori from Richmond got the Blackhawk tickets. Congratulations. Single game tickets on sale at ChicagoBlackhawks.com and a pair of tickets for an upcoming game for Lori. Congratulations there. And it's time for the most valuable person on the planet, or as I like to call it, the MVPP. The most valuable person on the planet for Tuesday, August 21st, 2018 is... We got to get a better drummer. Eric Duncan, the mayor of North Dundas. Is it Dundas? North Dundas? North Dundas, Ontario. Is it Dundas or Dundas, Eric?
Dundas.
Dundas.
So neither one, then.
There you go.
Congratulations, Mr. There you go. Congratulations, Mr. Mayor. You're a wonderful human being, and I can't wait to tell people that... Well, that you're a special guy. The Ontario mayor temporarily lent out his home to, well, you tell us. Who'd you lend your home to?
So a group of us are volunteers in our small rural community. We're about an hour south of our nation's capital, Ottawa, and we sponsored a Syrian refugee family. We started the process in 2015, and through our immigration process, it takes a couple of years. But on February 22nd this year, we were excited to have our family of five arrive in Canada. And one of the challenges that we have is we don't get a lot of notice of when the family's coming, so trying to find a house for them to rent can be a bit difficult. So I'm 30 years old, single, and my mother still lives nearby and talks to me, so I asked if I could move in with her while the family arrived, and they lived in my house for 5 months until last month when they got their own place.
You're a good man. You're a good man, I'm certainly sure your mom's proud of you, but that's a good thing. The arrangement,
for sure, it was a rewarding experience.
The arrangement gave the parents Danya Al Muazen and Adele Al Gharani a space to raise their three kids, and they saved up to open up their own store, and they're likely to be a member of your community for the future now.
Exactly, and they're doing very well here in Canada. One of the focuses we're putting on right now is language training, and their goal is to get out, get working. Actually, they're going to work at our local grocery store and do different things along that line and hopefully work their way up to different jobs in our area. But they love the small town living in Canada, and the welcome has been very positive. So they're off to a great start, and it's heartwarming to see them and then the kids doing so well in school.
You know, the Canadians are kind, with almost no exception.
We like to, and absolutely, we're a generous country.
Yes, and the people of North Dundas, what else have they done? Who else do you want to, I'm sure they've stepped up as well. Who else do you want to mention?
Oh, well, absolutely. There's a group of about 20 volunteers, and if you name it, between the teachers at the local school, the two twin girls are in our local elementary school, and our teenage young lad, he is in just finished grade 10, so he's about 16 years old, and the teachers at the school and the staff have been wonderful to help them learn English and get adjusted to Canada. Our local outreach center, the House of Lazarus, if we needed clothes or donations or anything just to get the family started off with a hand up, they've been there. And just numerous people made donations, have taken the family out to local events, and just made them feel really welcome. So it's been rewarding to have them here, but also at the same time, just see the generosity in our community and everybody buying into, you know, to change their lives and give them a second chance of life.
You know, even though you're the mayor, after moving back home and having your mom do your laundry and make you food all day, you're not going back to your house, are you? You're probably put it up for sale.
Well, I laughed. I said I moved back in last month, so our family has a permanent spot to rent there now in our village of Winchester. But I laughed. I said to the family, no rush. I get laundry. I get meals on my beck and call. It was wonderful, and Mom didn't mind. So I thought, take as long as you want to live in my house. I don't care.
He's my little mayor.
Exactly.
Mayor Duncan, thanks for being you and being a great guy. And you're the most valuable person on the planet.
Well, thank you very much. And I hope to make it to Chicago someday. I hear nothing but great things about your beautiful city, so I hope to make it there.
I hope you do, and when you do, let us know. We'll take you to a Blackhawks game.
There you go.
That'll be wonderful. I'm a Sens fan, so I'll have to time that out. That's wonderful.
Yeah, do it. Absolutely. All right, congratulations. Thanks, on all you do. What a good guy.
Yeah. Right?
I had the opportunity to live with my parents for a few months when I was 35. Go back, you know, because I got divorced. And it was the most amazing time of my life.
In a positive way.
Oh, my gosh. They are so kind and did everything.
And you finally appreciated it, as opposed to when you lived there as a kid and you thought, oh, these people, I got to get rid of them.
Yeah, that you really, you're like, why do you ever want to leave here? I get why the millennials aren't leaving, because the services, you can't beat them.
I had a roommate in college, my first roommate that was not in college, you know, an outside apartment. And he was a friend of mine until I lived with him. And after a year, I had to leave, and I had to move home, and I thought, well, this will make my mom happy. I'll be home for a while. I could still see the disappointment on her face when I said I need to come home. Yeah.
Oh, so. Ours was, the three of us would sit on the couch and watch television.
She was happy once I got there, but I don't know. I think she'd been running a gambling operation out of my bedroom or something. things had to change. All right, it's 7:32. We'll come back with the headlines in just a moment. Walter Jacobson, the great Walter Jacobson, is going to join us in a moment. What was it like 50 years ago in Chicago? He can speak to that, and will in a moment on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
You should see 50 years ago, it was 1968, and a young reporter slash anchor was on his way to becoming one of the most powerful people in Chicago. He doesn't like when I talk about him like this, but there's nobody that's been more impactful in Chicago media over the course of his career than the great Walter Jacobson. Good morning to you, my friend. Nice to see you, as always.
To get that from you. Thank you.
It's nice of you to say that. All right, let's go right back. 1968, you're 29, 30 years old. What job do you have at that point? Where were you working?
Oh, I was at Channel 2 News. I was a reporter at that time, and my assignment was to cover the convention, both inside and outside. And it was something we knew was coming, and we had been working on it for months since Martin Luther King came here early in April to lead a demonstration, was in Soldier Field, stirring things up, going on the southwest side, getting hit with a brick. You remember that,
sure,
right?
Sure.
And we were all prepared for hell, and hell did break loose. It was just awful.
So from the beginning, the tension was high. When did it break out and get bad? What day?
It was high at first, Steve, because Daley had been very upset by what the police did in Chicago in letting the riots occur in April after Martin Luther King was shot.
Right.
And that's when he said, remember, shoot to kill.
Right.
If there was going to be more trouble. And the convention, you know, he was a Democrat king, and to make this his showplace for the convention was exactly what he wanted and what we were all looking for. So he wasn't going to allow anything to happen.
The riots that occurred, the protesting that occurred, was there sectioned off areas where the protesters would be sent back then the way there is now?
Yeah, well, they were not allowed to gather anywhere. Daley was so determined to have peace and quiet that he fenced off the amphitheater, and he fenced off parts of Grant Park on Michigan Avenue so that the protesters couldn't land and stay. They had to be away from where the politics was, away from where the police were lining up. So they just got more and more angry and more frustrated, and they moved to Lincoln Park. That's where the explosion first began,
right,
in Lincoln Park,
right,
where they gathered and stayed beyond the curfew,
was
which
was
11.
Thing.
Right.
Yeah, the idea that there was a curfew on the park, and at the time, the Parks Commissioner, right, Ed Kelly, the mayor, they said, there's no way we're going to let anybody stay over in the park. And the protesters who had gathered from around the country had said, we're going to stay over in the park.
10,000 of them.
And there was no law. There was no law that said they couldn't sleep in the park, right?
No. Oh, of course not.
Right.
Daley made, I thought, serious mistakes. He provoked, which he shouldn't have done. He was not careful. He just was, you know, the godfather, and didn't want anything.
He wanted his show to go on the way he wanted it to go on.
Exactly.
All right, so when you went out, what was your beat as a reporter at Channel 2 in 1968 for the convention? Any story you wanted to chase, or were you told, go see this or go see
that?
Well,
in that case, I was told where to go, but okay, basically I had the privilege of choosing my stories. I was kind of between being a reporter and being a commentator, which was a difficult line to walk. Where do you cease reporting facts and add opinion? And I was doing a little bit of both.
But there's a thing that strikes me about a similarity with today. There's a feeling today amongst a lot of people, and I certainly put myself in this boat, that the country I love, the city I love, is in a great deal of trouble.
Right.
In 1968, you had to have that same feeling. So was there a tremendous, push and pull on your own professionalism to be able to tell the story without emotion and report it?
Well, I mean,
you had to be worried about your own city. You knew what was coming.
Right. But I kind of tried to suppress those feelings of patriotism, feelings of love for Chicago, because my job was to tell people what was going on at the time.
Right.
And though I did have strong opinions and looked at what was happening from a point of view, I kept the facts to the facts. Still
right.
do.
Right, right, right.
Sometimes that's hard to do.
That's the job.
Walter, the convention took on two different places, and this is part of the story, that there was the amphitheater down on Halsted that right. that essentially is where all the politicians went, and right. that's where they were choosing the nomination for right. For the presidency. But there also was, of course, what we know to be the protest that happened in Lincoln Park and Grant Park in front of the Hilton, where a lot of the people were staying.
Right.
Talk about, I mean, were there, what, did the people that when you were covering at the amphitheater, did they know what was happening in Lincoln Park?
Well, they
no
had
internet, kids.
There were monitors on the convention floor, and of course everybody was set with hearing sets, and they knew what was being they were being told through their hearing pieces what was happening out on the street. But on the floor of the convention, they were so determined to settle what to do about Hubert Humphrey and McCarthy, and Lyndon Johnson said he wasn't going to run anymore,
right.
who was going to run against Nixon at that point. So that's where the focus was. But because of all the publicity on the street, the live reports that were interspersed with what was going on in the convention, we all knew what the trouble was outside. And I was on the floor when the reports were coming in of what was going on in Grant.
But, you know, Dan Rather got decked. Did you get physically knocked down as well?
I didn't, no.
No, you did not.
But Mike Wallace was, and Ed Bradley was. And that was hard to figure out why, because they weren't, in my opinion, watching them, they weren't doing anything that seemed extraordinary for the undercover police force in the convention hall to beat them up like that. You know, and they were egging them on.
Sure.
I mean, all the police were egged on. The police were tired. They were thirsty. They were angry at what the demonstrators were doing. And the demonstrators were trying to provoke the police into trouble. And you can't convince me that Mike Wallace and Dan Rather and the others, even Walter Cronkite on the air, were being provocative because they were looking for that
telling
kind of exposure.
The story. Yeah, they were telling the story.
Yeah, but they were also looking for a little exposure. The competition between the networks that day, those days, 5 days, was so intense and so fierce. Each reporter wanted to be the big star of the weekend.
And that story's rarely told.
Wasn't Cronkite the guy, though, even in 1968? I mean, you know, you have the famous Lyndon Johnson quote, if I lost Cronkite, I lost America. Wasn't Cronkite the guy that everybody watched?
Yeah, I think that's true. I don't have the ratings in front of me right now, but Cronkite was the man that the whole world believed in, the father figure. But, you know, I had an experience with him in that at that convention that kind of turned me off to Walter Cronkite. I was the CBS Chicago reporter, not the CBS network reporter. And during a break in the action on the floor, to which I had some access, nowhere near the access that the network correspondents had, I walked into this massive studio that was built by CBS, comparable to those built by NBC and ABC, hundreds of thousands of dollars. And Cronkite was sitting at the desk waiting for the convention to be hammered to open, and I stuck my nose in there. I was CBS too, Mr. Cronkite. I'm Walter Jacobson. I work for your station in Chicago, and I have a piece of information that you might be interested in. He completely dismissed me. What do you want? He said, well, what can you tell me that I don't know? I got very nervous and sort of backed out, but what I had to tell him was that behind the scenes, Daly was trying to get Ted Kennedy to get the nomination.
Right, we knew that
and
later.
And he had been doing all that kind of playing. It would have been a scoop for Walter Cronkite because everybody was wondering who was going to be the Democratic nominee.
What a fascinating story.
He just kicked me out of there, and that was it.
Wow, I don't blame you. I don't blame you. That would be frustrating. All right, when we come back, here's my question for you. When we come back after the break, what do we get wrong about that story? From somebody who experienced it on the ground, what do we get wrong even today, 50 years down the road? Portions of the Steve Cochran Show, sponsored by American Weathermakers.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Hey, Jude.
Lots have been said and written and talked about the 50th year anniversary of that crazy year of 1968. Walter Jacobson's here, and you know, Walter doesn't talk about this, but John DeCoste, you and I have talked about this, and I don't know that the kids here appreciated as much. In this great city of Chicago, there was nobody bigger than you and Curtis. You and Bill Curtis were monuments. You were statues. And to have the impact and the 50-year sweep of the coverage of news that went on in this city, that's why I'm always fascinated to talk to you. So let me take it back to 1968. Is there something we get wrong about that story?
It's hard for me to say that. I mean, instinctively, I know there were things done wrong because the industry, television news industry, has a lot of problems and should be more careful about what we cover and how we cover it and how we just perform. But I can't tell you that covering those 5 days was something wrong. There wasn't an awful lot of local coverage because the network swooped in here with all their big stars and excluded the local reporters to the degree that they could.
That part is so amazing to me, and this is a little inside baseball, but to not take advantage of you guys is just stupid.
I know, and it's still that way. The networks are where the money is. Well, you know, that's not even true, because the stations make an awful lot of money that boosts profits network-wise. But they just disdain the local reporters. I think we were a bunch of hicks, and we know more particularly about politics in Chicago.
We know much
more than any of them.
That's crazy.
You couldn't put Walter Cronkite, the king of all anchors, in the chair next to me and have him know more about what's going on behind the scenes, because that was my job.
That was your job. That was your beat. All right, one more, Justin.
50 years ago, the what we've been talking about, you know, we're doing a three-part series this week, but we're talking about the media. A lot of the protections to the media come from this experience in 1968 because of what you talked about, Mike Wallace and Bradley, other people who were actually hurt by the police, that were actually, you know, assaulted. Have you noticed that things have changed for reporters based on what happened here in Chicago in 1968?
I don't think that has. I don't think things have changed very much. But, of course, there haven't been events like there was in 1968. I mean, that was, as you say, a horrible year between King getting shot and Kennedy being Bobby Kennedy being shot. I mean, there was just hell to pay everywhere. But it doesn't happen now so much.
You know what?
People
kind
of calmed down.
You made a point in the break I think is really important. And in the interest of time, we'll wrap with this because we have more to talk about to you in the days ahead. But you made an interesting point off air that I think is replicated now, and it's worse than ever. And that is, what's the line between opinion and the line between reporting? And you told us, and this is something that you have perspective on, even in 1968, the show was more important than telling the story.
Yeah, and the line between reporting and opinioning, or whatever you want to call it, was very thin at that time. But attempts to keep it thicker were made. I was a combination of reporter and commentator.
Right.
But it was very important to not only me, but or I should say not only the station, but to me too, that I be, because I insisted that I be identified as an opinion giver, as a commentator when I do my commentary. Today, and it was, every time I was on the air with Walter's Perspective, it had my written signature underneath me.
With opinion.
For people, given the viewer a chance to understand what I was doing.
Agree 1,000%.
Today, there's none of that.
I agree 1,000%. You know, people don't know what's news
cable,
and what isn't.
Cable news, for God's sakes, those talking heads go on forever trying to make us think that they're being journalists. They're not.
No.
They're being opinion.
You're exactly right. And we need that now more than ever, so people Absolutely. Know what they're watching and listening to and reading and hearing.
I agree.
Nice to see you.
Great to see you guys. Thank you for having me in here.
Thank you for giving us some perspective, and we'll come back and do more of that in the coming days. 1968, a year like no others, or 50 years from now, are people going to go back and go, "Whoa, that 2018, holy mackerel." News next on 720 WGN. Before we get to that, let me get to this. What do you love about your shave? Well, if you have Harry's, you love the fact that it's a close shave with the best stuff. 100% quality guarantee. Harry's stands by the quality of their products. If you don't love that shave, let them know and they're going to give you a full refund. No subscription required. Now available in Walmart and Target stores. Auto refill is an option, but you can also buy one-off a la carte online or in stores. And for a limited time only, a special offer for people listening now. You get $5 off the shave set from Harry's. When you check out, just use the promo code Cochran. You get the 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, travel cover, $3. $3! $5 off that $8 price, $3 at harrys.com. Join the millions of guys who've already switched. Go to harrys.com today. Use the promo code Cochran at checkout to claim your offer. And I'm always giving my opinion. It's 8:03. News next after this.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood, you know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood, well, kiss me, kiss me good.
The jingle, one of the few that we have that's not John DeCosh, written, created, and performed, reminds me to tell you, John, because I haven't told you yet today, that Eric Edelstein, who does politics with us on Thursdays, is very upset that he still doesn't have a theme song.
It's on back order.
We're just going in the studio, but it will be done. It will be done.
It's like buying a couch, 6 to 8 weeks.
Yes.
I think it sounds like the Eagles when they did the long run, and it took 3 years.
This is coming about 2.5 years.
By the way, it's easy for me to say since I have no work involved in this whatsoever.
I know.
Other than to ask you where it is. Dean Richards live at Channel 9. Good morning, Dean.
I'm very upset also because John promised me when the jingle first came out, the one that we'll hear in a couple of minutes, that he was going to do a 12-inch extended version of it and put it out on vinyl.
You talking about Dean's song?
Yeah, the Dean song.
The rap goes on for over 42 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. It's not just an album cut, it's an
That's
album.
Right.
I watched the whole damn Video Music Awards last night thinking that Nicki Minaj was going to do a version of it last night.
Nicki Minaj.
The entire VMAs took place in Nicki Minaj cleavage last night. They didn't have a theater.
Her performance was good.
The over-under on how many times Camila Cabello was mispronounced.
I counted five different ways.
Okay.
I counted five different pronunciations, the first being from Tiffany Haddish. Wasn't really one of the hosts, but she and Kevin Hart came out and sort of opened the show.
Hold on a second. Kevin Hart tried to get some attention on him?
I know. It's hard to believe.
Yeah.
Hard to believe. He was actually kind of funny, but it was awkward and stumbly. And
did you see that wackadoodle show he's hosting on CBS now?
Yeah, it's like an
obstacle course with giant Nerf hammers and Nerf toys where you can shoot each other.
He made last night in that monologue. He made a joke that was a really benign Trump joke. I don't even remember what it was. It was something stupid like about Twitter. And it took 10 seconds. I saw this on Fox News. It popped up to pull the quote and try to make it a political story.
Yeah.
It's like it's Kevin Hart.
Well, they're trying to do his Nerf toy show and do the same thing. He's obviously a political figure. Jennifer Lopez from the VMAs as well.
Stole the show last night.
Oh, I agree 100%.
1,000% stole the show last night.
Well, you want to tell us now? You want me to do the big broadcaster tease I'm in the middle of?
Well, I think a nice broadcast tease is always good.
And Pearl Jam, did they ever get on stage at Wrigley? We'll find that out.
They eventually... Oh, I'm not going to say.
It's a big broadcaster tease is what it is.
Sorry, I'm new to this business.
And will the Hills or won't the Hills be returning...
Oh, well, I can answer that, too.
...to MTV? All of that coming up. Wah, 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 in just a moment.
We'll be calling his name.
By the way, attention Chicago White Sox. If you'd like any help talking about Kopech tonight, we're here. Just let us know. We're on all day. At 8:22, almost 8:23, it's back to Dean. And Dean, please refer to me by my new name for the remainder of this report.
Okay, what's that?
Popsy.
Popsy?
Yeah, Abigail, my 2.5-year-old granddaughter, changed my name from Pops to Popsy yesterday.
Popsy.
Yeah, she said, you are Popsy. And I said, okay, you're Abigail. You can get whatever you want.
Popsy. like Popsy Cole?
Oh, I don't know. Who knows? You can't go deep on that. You just say, yes, ma'am.
That's his rap name.
Yeah. Yeah, Popsy. Yeah.
Popsy's Cole.
Ice Popsy.
I like Lil Popsy.
Lil Popsy?
Dean, we have a text question. I forgot to ask you about this, but things as a grandparent or a parent that you would not want your kids to know you did.
Hmm.
630, early 90s, judge told me nothing good happens after midnight. 847, the judge told her that. 847, I don't want the kids to know I made love to my girlfriend, now my wife, in an open boat on the middle of Lake Geneva.
Romantic.
847.
Well, you should always bring handy wipes when you go on boats in Lake Geneva.
Oh, man.
847. 847, I got arrested for garage hopping with my friends. You know what garage hopping is?
You hop from garage.
Yeah, well, that's what I thought. It was like a Tom Cruise roof running thing.
Do you know what it is?
Seriously? I do now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because it's in here. Looking for open garages and stealing beer.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 6-year-old, my kids never find out I slept on the hood of my girlfriend's father's Roadmaster. What is a Roadmaster? I don't know what that is. I was camping with the girls. I got drunk. And they didn't want me to throw up inside the tent, so I wasn't allowed in. Ah, it's a sweet story for the kids. That's nice. Nice. 779, dazed and confused my entire high school career. Yeah. You know, we'll keep these coming. Again, things you don't want your kids or your grandkids to know you did. Any confessions you'd like to make, Dean?
I lived an exemplary life as a young man.
You're a good boy. Yeah, fine young man. All right, did Pearl Jam ever get on stage?
Finally, they were supposed to go on at 7:30. They finally got on around 9:30. And they played right up until the midnight curfew, just before the curfew, about 11:45. They turned the lights on Wrigley Field. It's the ultimate last call. You don't have to go home, but you got to leave here.
Right.
So they did a couple of hours.
They pulled the tarp off Eddie Vedder, and they said, tomorrow we'll play two concerts.
How about that? The second time now that there's been a massive rain delay for a Pearl Jam concert there. But they did not go over the curfew this time like they did last time. But it seems like everybody had fun. I know we've got many people, quote, calling in sick today that may or may not have been at the Pearl Jam.
Who went
concert.
To the Pearl Jam show here? Dave, were you there?
I was not there, but Dean, you mentioned the other rain delay. That was like several years ago when Ernie Banks got up there.
And Jose Cardinal, I think, too. Really? Was that another rain delay? But Eddie Vedder, I'm pretty sure this was the same one. It was definitely Ernie Banks, but I thought he brought Jose Cardenal up on stage, too, and saying that he was his favorite Cub.
Yeah, he's my favorite Cub. Jose.
I remember when the Glenn Miller band got shut down with Honus Wagner. You remember that?
They had an error on the scoreboard saying that they were in a weather delay and that we are on standby, but they put standby as one word.
A typo. Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Typo. That's the type of thing that drives you crazy.
It's yeah,
crazy,
that's what man. Was on the...
It's crazy.
The Hill's returning?
Yeah, The Hill.
Oh, thank God. What a good show.
Among the many announcements, you know, MTV obviously used the big award show last night as a vehicle to promote their own show. And Steve, you'll also be happy to know that the Jersey Shore's cast is going to be back as well.
Lenny and Squiggy?
It may as well be like Squeaky. It's all the people from the old Jersey Shore show, except now they're at least 10 years older and about 50 years dumber.
The Situation? Will The Situation be there?
The Situation is, he was one of the co-hosts of the Big Red Carpet last
night. Did he know?
I don't think he knew exactly where he was. Mm-hmm. It was, I was embarrassed for the guy.
And who is the tiny woman?
Snooki.
Yeah.
She's coming back?
Steve, we want to be updated on where they all are going to be in their lives right now. It's essential. And I mean, also...
And the other woman on the show, beautiful girl. Beautiful girl. And as soon as she opened her mouth, it was over. And she sounded like a bad, stinky fish washing up on a Jersey beach.
J-Wow. Yeah. J-Wow. Yeah. A lot of them have kids now. And Mike, the Situation, he's engaged and sober.
Well, good for the Situation. Wow. It's a sober situation.
Isn't he engaged to Bad Stinky Fish?
I think he is. Yes, he is. Dean, I'm hearing...
Sort of the same thing with The Hills, that they're bringing back most of the original cast now with their families and their kids and, you know, all that.
Let me go live to Sandberg, Dean, on this at Laguna Beach. Sandberg, what do we know?
Dean is correct on this, but they're bringing back all the losers, these guys that are a part of it. Justin Bobby, he was the worst boyfriend ever to Audrina. Totally. He's the hairstylist.
I know.
Spencer Pratt is a D-bag. I don't care for him.
Wow.
He and Heidi, I don't know.
What was the name of that girl? They were famous for like 10 minutes. Spencer Pratt, and who was the...
Heidi's wife.
Yeah, but what's her last name?
Pratt.
No, but she had a name that wasn't Heidi Pratt. Anyway,
Heidi Montag.
Heidi D-bag.
Isn't Kristen Cavallari? She was on The Hills. Is she going to be a part on the reunion?
I don't think so, Dean, because her show's on E now.
I don't know. I'm on the edge of my seat waiting to find out.
She seems to be the most famous of the group,
Well, and Lauren Conrad, she wasn't there as well, and she was on The Hills. She's the one that started the whole thing with Laguna, so.
And Lenny and Swiggy are not on?
No, but I'll be watching. I'll be watching for sure. Whenever
you will.
End of civilization as we know it.
All right, so I'm hearing about the MTV VMAs, which I didn't know much a second of, that Madonna is taking some grief for her Aretha tribute. What did she do?
She talked about how Aretha was influential on her, and some people are saying that, you know, she made this Aretha Franklin tribute all about her. But she was a young kid growing up. I didn't take it that way at all. I thought it was a very nice tribute. She grew up in Detroit, where Aretha was from.
Right.
If you're a young singer growing up in Detroit, I don't know how you cannot be influenced by Aretha Franklin, not growing up in Detroit or not. And she talked about how, you know, she had an influence on her life. So some people Some people are saying that she made it about herself. I don't think that's true. It's interesting because, you know, in days gone by, Madonna would always be there for the shock value to make out with Britney Spears, like Steve did that one time.
Right. She was all hands, I got to tell you.
Yeah. Last night, she was the elder statesperson of the night.
Yeah.
And she presented the Video of the Year Award to Camila Cabello. And Camila Cabello...
Is it Cabello or Cabello?
I've heard Cabello.
Cabello?
Yeah. I've heard Cabello. Okay. She was, even though she had just won the biggest award of the whole night, she was completely in awe of being able to accept an award from Madonna, and this is what she said.
Camila Cabello. This is
My hands are literally shaking. I am never going to forget this moment ever in my life. Madonna, I love you so, so much. I've seen every single music video of yours. I've seen every single documentary of yours. You've inspired me so much. And for that reason, this is a surreal moment. And I love you.
I'm just glad she didn't say, my mom has told me so much about you.
Yeah.
It was almost like that.
Jennifer Lopez, J-Lo.
J-Lo got the Michael Jackson Video Vanguard Award, which is a career achievement award, which was very, very nice. First of all, Jennifer Lopez, 49-year-old Jennifer Lopez.
And wow. bigger than ever, and looks fantastic.
Did a 10-minute nonstop performance of her greatest hits. Completely stole the show. Nobody else could even come close in terms of performance last night. But her speech was also very nice, thanking her 10-year-old twins who were there.
Oh, cool.
Saying that they made her stronger, but also her boyfriend.
This is the cutest.
All right, let me hear it.
Alex
Rodriguez, kids, the baseball player.
You're like my twin soul. We're like mirror images of each other. You know, my life is sweeter and better with you in it because you make me realize that every day the sky is not the limit. The universe is infinite, and so is what we can accomplish together with love and trust and understanding. There is so much more to do, to experience, and there is no one I'd rather do it with, baby. You're my macho, and I love you.
Aww.
Wow.
You're my macho.
That was the moment I had to explain to my son.
You're my what?
My macho.
Performance-enhancing drugs. That was insane. He asked who A-Rod was. And right. Okay, so he was
tail.
He took a needle and he shoved it in his butt.
Right.
And then he hit home runs.
Well, that's how they got together, because J-Lo's hit Andrew Steen Dion.
He was so cute. Was the whole night, he was, Instagram storying and live
nice.
Instagramming her. And like when they were on the red carpet, he's in the background taking shots of her. They're my favorite power couple right now. And Dean, I don't know if you saw, they were trying to time. She does that move where she gyrates her bottom.
Yes.
Yeah. I taught her that.
They said they were trying to time it, but it's the speed of hummingbird wings is it what the rate that what she can do that gyrating. So.
I just looked it up. They just broke up.
That is the kind of thing. I mean, that's the equivalent of a tattoo. That kind of laying it all out emotionally. That's a tattoo of his name on my arm, and Friday I find out he's cheating on me. So I hope that's not the case.
It might be the case, but they seem like the real deal.
She calls everybody baby. On World of Dance, she's a judge. She calls everybody baby.
Right.
So, hey.
They seem like they're the real deal. They're older, mature.
Yeah, I hope so.
You know,
I love when people are in love. You know that about me.
The other story about love last night was that Ariana Grande and Pete Davidson made their first appearance as a couple last night. They were seated together. They seemed to be all lovey-dovey. But the big gossip this morning is that they may already be married. Pete Davidson was wearing a bracelet that had three initials, A-G-D. Ariana Grande Davidson is what's being speculated.
Well, but maybe it's like when you have a notebook in high school and you write down the name and you put a heart around it.
Maybe.
I thought MTV was way over the top. They put a camera in front of them for every reaction shot. I was like, all right, enough, man.
I'm just glad, once again, that pretty girls don't mind dating dopey-looking guys.
Yeah.
You know?
He doped it up last night, too. Sweatshirt on.
That blonde hair he's rocking.
My question to you, Dean, is what? And this is being talked about on the internet. What was with Aerosmith ending the show? Why Aerosmith in a Post Malone hybrid performance? Are they doing something, promoting something? Why?
They're going to be doing a Las Vegas residency. They just announced that, so I imagine that was
there. You go.
The reason that they were there last night, but they've pretty much always ended the show with some kind of classic old school. Some kind of showstopper. And they were. That was also a very good performance last night.
Steven Tyler just texted us things that he did that he doesn't want his children or grandparents to know. And it's everything anyone ever thought of.
I thought it was funny. Travis Scott, not funny, but Travis Scott is Kylie Jenner's baby daddy. And he ended his performance with a shout out to Aretha. And he's a rapper. And
Travis Scott.
I thought it was nice that she affects all genres, even the 30-year-old
number one
rapper guy.
Lots of respect. Steven Tyler, by the way, Steve, at one point in the performance, also turned around and gyrated his buttocks the way that J-Lo did.
Right. He must have had a couple extra insurers backstage, huh?
Jeez.
Get them all fired up. Thank you, Dean.
He's a handsome man, that
one. Yes, he is. And so is his grandmother. Wait, same person.
Same person. That's hilarious.
All right, we'll come back with the headlines next on 720 WGN.
From the Allstate Skyline Studio.
The Steve Cochran Show.
On 720 WGN.
All right, it's 8:45. Steve Grzanich, the Molly Tibbetts thing is awful, obviously. We were hoping for the best. And do we know where her body was found?
No, not many details being released. Obviously, this is a shock to everybody that's involved in this. There was some hope that this would end in a different way. There was a big reward for information, some sightings and that, what have you. But this news today is that her body has been found, possibly her body found near her, where she, I guess, disappeared in Iowa, in central Iowa. That's according to the Crime Stoppers president of central Iowa, which has been pretty involved in finding her. So we'll see what happens. But reporters obviously on their way over there now to see what's going on with this developing story.
Thanks for the update on that. As we continue at 8:46, this is kind of a great documentary week. Tomorrow, The Legend of Hoop Dreams is on. Who are you going to be talking to, Justin?
Well, tomorrow, Steve James will be on the program. Steve James America, to me, is the new series, which is on Stars, which is based on the four or five years at Oak Park River Forest High School. It's getting great reviews, and of course, it's the hit out of Sundance. That's tomorrow. Bing Liu is in studio now. Carr Temquin having a great week. Bing Liu is a director who also worked on America to Me, but his film Minding the Gap is out on Hulu. It's also coming to the Siskel Center coming up August 31st. It's a great documentary that follows three skateboarders in Rockford, Illinois. Over, 15 years, something in that area. Bing was one of the skateboarders, and it started with just, you know, them being friends and sharing their lives together. And the documentary actually catches up on where they're at and how they've turned into adults. It's riveting, and it's much, much more than just a story about skateboarding.
Well, that's the thing, right? Because if you give me the elevator pitch, it's a documentary about three kids with skateboards from Rockford. I don't even know how you get that made. So how do we get over to the point where everybody's talking about you?
I mean, you know, it's from the beginning. It was like I was fighting that hurdle. I wasn't even using the word skateboarding for a long time.
Okay.
Unfortunately, to my dismay, it sort of caught back on in the marketing. So, because I know that there's, you know, people hear the word skateboarding doc and there's such a baggage in their heads, and it's like, oh, it's this sort of film. I'm not going to watch it. If you look at the film, there's like maybe 10, 12 minutes of skateboarding.
That's
in
just
it.
The thing that tied the three of you together.
Yeah, exactly. And so my pitch was it's a coming of age story. It's a coming of age story that deals with, you know, violence in the home and the vulnerability of young men and, you know, how they learn to become men.
The story, because I do agree with you, there's a lot of, when you think skateboarding, you can think of now and YouTube and other places where you're just going to get some music and people performing great skateboard tricks. But there was a culture that this comes from. I mean, skateboarding culture has been around for a long time, but the idea of the skate tape and this idea of you know, being able to have someone who's good with a camera. It's not just about skating, it's also about good with a camera. And that was you.
Yeah, I mean, I've been working here in the scene in Chicago for the past 10 years, you know, all the shows like Chicago PD and Shameless and everything. And so I kind of came up through, you know, in this DIY sort of way. I learned on the job. Before that, I didn't go to film school. I went to school for English at UIC. And I filmed a lot of my own things when I was a teen, including that first skate tapes. And skate tapes didn't really become, you know, part of the story until much later. I end up entering the film, you know, not in an as major way as the two primary protagonists, but, you know, there's a lot of reverse engineering that happened. You know, once I found myself entering the film, it was more as the role of the filmmaker. And so, you know, through that, it's like, you know, we can show my growth through the filmmaking itself. So it takes on this meta quality.
I was going to say, as a filmmaker, you're one of the subjects, and you can hear your voice at points. There's archival footage of yourself, and obviously your story plays out. Is it difficult for you as a filmmaker to be both the filmmaker, the director, and the subject?
Yes and no. I mean, most of the time I thought of myself as, you know, in third person as a character. You know, I thought about it in the mechanics of it, like what justifies me being in the film? What does my character in the film want?
That's an interesting question, though. Is it easier to tell a story about you or about somebody else?
I think the most difficult thing is to try to get vulnerability from yourself. It was a lot easier for me to get vulnerability from my two protagonists, but, you know, how do you look in a mirror and go, like, okay, be vulnerable now? You know, so I had to find ways where I didn't have control in the film. And, you know, if you watch the film, you'll see how I did that.
And you grew up with them. So did you have any pushback from them about how they're portrayed, even, it's your version of their real life.
Yeah, it's a great way to ruin a friendship. Do a movie about your three friends.
Well, you know, partly it was nice. I didn't actually know Kier growing up. I met him in my mid-20s once I started doing the film, you know, but he's 7 or 8 years younger than me. He knew me, you know, they all knew me. They watched my skate videos growing up. So, you know, when I came back, it was like, oh, cool, Bing is like focusing his camera on us. So I think that was more the relationship rather than this sort of Stand By Me thing that I think the film sometimes paints it as. But, you know, it was a 5-year, 6-year negotiation of what's going to be in the film, how they felt about it. And it was an ongoing conversation.
That's amazing. It's just amazing the amount of work and extra voices that get involved in the process that grind it to a halt sometimes, but not in your case. And every festival's talking about you. People want to see this movie, and we'll tell you where you can see it. And also, when we come back, I want to touch on the violence piece of this, because there's a lot of people going to work this morning who are subjected to some of the things that you've gone through and the other two have gone through and I went through. It's a relatable tangent here. The movie, again, is called what, Justin?
Finding the Gap. It's going to be at the Siskel Center coming up on the 31st, but it's available now on Hulu. Bing Liu is the director, director and subject in the film, Minding the Gap.
All right. Let's see what's coming up at 9, then more with Bing.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
I am going to make it through this year if it kills me.
Bing Liu's here, Minding the Gap. Justin, you saw this last night?
I did, yeah. It's on Hulu, which is great. Just check it out. And, of course, coming up at the Siskel Center on the 31st. Rockford plays a prominent role in this film. I mean, it really becomes a central character because you see footage that from when you were younger, and then you can contrast to what that looks like today. How important was this to showcase what Rockford or the role that Rockford played in your life?
I mean, you know, I think it came out of people wondering why the streets were so empty in earlier cuts, and it's like, oh, you guys don't know that Rockford is not just a Chicago suburb, that it's a Rust Belt city, you know, in the 80s, sort of, you know, did a number on it. But I think the struggle was sort of finding a way to showcase and characterize Rockford without blaming the problems that surface in the film on it, which I think so often happens in films, but also to be truthful about like some of the grim realities there.
And that's part of it, you know, when you're talking about domestic violence, which plays a role in all three of your lives, the characters, there is this way that Rockford does play a central role in that, because in the 80s, you're talking about a generation that lost a lot from that town, and how they took it out, and the frustrations, and the family sort of generational violence that we see in Rust Belt City. So there is some truth to the way that this film and kind of portrays domestic violence and the city of Rockford.
I mean, there's very few stats in the film. It's very, you know, experiential. But one of the stats that's in it is that, you know, Rockford is one of the most highest per capita violent crime cities in the nation. And 25% of that comes from domestic violence. And that's just the calls that are made. You know, you have one character who, you know, was in this marriage for 17 years. One call was made throughout the whole, you know, abusive relationship. So that gives you an idea of, you know, the sort of violence that happens behind closed doors. But I also took a 40-hour domestic violence course while making the film. And one of my biggest takeaways was that, you know, it's a myth that violence in the home only happens in working-class communities.
No, it happens everywhere.
Of color. It happens everywhere. It's across the board. So,
you and I were talking off the air a second ago. In my case, a violent father, an alcoholic, who was the sweetest guy on the planet until he drank, and then the wheels came off. And most of that violence was directed at my mother and my brother. But for me, it was always about an escape. And in my case, it wasn't skateboarding. It was high school and sports. How much of this is about the brotherly bond and the escape? Because I'm curious to see the film when I do, and I haven't yet, is to see where the crossover point comes, where you all connect in that abuse part of the past.
I'll tell you this. A little does a lot. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, there's only 10, 15 minutes at most of skateboarding in it. And not all of the skateboarding feels like a release. I'll say that. And I think it was important for me to show that, you know, skateboarding has diminishing returns. Like, it can help you catharsis. It could help you, you know, get by in really troubled times. But can it help you become a good father? Can it help you get a GED? You know, can it help you, you know what to do with your emotions? Not necessarily.
Victims of abuse take one of two paths normally, and that is to repeat the cycle or to break free from it. How do you break free from it?
Well, I just scared myself into, you know, not wanting to become my stepfather. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, part of the reason why I made this film was an extension of what I was doing in my adolescence, which is, you know, trying to find a different way to model how to be a man.
It's great.
And it's more difficult than we think.
So. And if there's one word that seems to come up again and again in people talking about the movie, it's hope.
Yes, it's a very hopeful film. I mean, it was important to me to have a really emotionally holistic palette. You know, oftentimes you see films about violence and it's like just stomach nodding the whole time. This is a film that, you know, captures the wholeness of youth.
Really does. Minding the Gap is the name of the film. It's on Hulu. You can also see it at the Siskel Center coming up on the 31st. This is a big week for, I mean, this has been a big couple months for you with this film, but also being involved in some of the storylines for America to Me, Steve James' film that is now a Starz series. I mean, we're going to talk to Steve tomorrow, but do you recognize the kind of buzz that this is creating?
Yeah, I mean, there's billboards all over. It's getting called one of the, you know, top shows of the year. I certainly feel really lucky to have worked on it. I've never seen any take on education like this. It's 10 and a half hours, and it looks at 12 students over the course of a year. We follow teachers and administrators, parents. I mean, and you see the way that, you know, decisions that get made in these board meetings trickle down into the ways teachers teach, trickles down, you know, in more subtle ways into students' experiences of their year and their academic performance. I mean, it's just such a holistic take.
And that show is on Starz, and like we said, Steve James will be on the program tomorrow. But Bing Liu, one of the worked on, what do you call it, director? Do you direct episodes?
I directed three storylines, and they're sort of, you know, they ended up being three prominent storylines that are throughout the episodes.
This may be one of the most amazing things out of your story. Is the fact that you're not yet 30 and you're making a living in show business.
It's weird, yeah. I mean, so I started when I was 19. My first mentor told me, you know, they call it show business, not show art.
Yes, at some point you have to make the money.
Bing said something funny about the America to Me part is because they're being released weekly, he had to put together what happened last week things. You know, so that you can get caught up since people have to wait, because that's not how people watch anymore.
Kartemkin does documentaries, great doc, Hoop Dreams, all the way down. And but now you have to do the last time, recently on, to remind people what the storyline is.
There's no question. Everything's changed. Bing, great to meet you. Congratulations.
Thanks so much.
I hope you'll stay in touch with us and continue to take our calls.
I will try.
You big shot show business, are you? And hi to everybody in Rockford this morning. We pull for all of you. It's 9:02. We're back with the news next on 720 WGN.
It's Ticket Tuesday.
A chance to win a pair of tickets to a Blackhawks regular season game at 3:40.
And then after 5 o'clock, it's a 4-pack of tickets to the White Sox.
The Road Con Show with Anna DeVlantis. This afternoon at 3 on 720 WGN.
Hey, Abby, take this insurance card, put it in your wallet, honey.
Dad, I downloaded the Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois app, so I have my card right here on my phone.
Oh, finally putting that thing to good use, huh?
Yeah, okay. Give me your phone. I'll show you how easy it is.
Hey, you know what else is easy?
What?
Picking up the phone, calling your dad a little bit more when you're at school.
Oh, okay.
Blue Cross members now have ease at their fingertips with the Blue Cross of Illinois app. From finding doctors in your network and tracking claims to downloading a digital ID card, get the mobile tool that's easy to use and easy on you. Simply download it to your phone or go to bcbsil.com. Then click on the sign up or login button and experience a better, paperless way to manage your healthcare plan. Today, tomorrow, and through it all. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois, a division of health...
I got it! I'm patched in!
All right, let me hear it.
Now, from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
We're locked. Systems check out. Signal across the board. What's the frequency?
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
All right, 9:15 now on CLTV and 720. Excuse me for a second. I couldn't find a cough button. On 720 WGN. And coming up here in a little bit, Orion will rejoin us. And let's play some match game. We'll play some match game before the bottom of the hour. Give some prizes away. In studio now, the handsome athletic director from Chicago State University and an old pal to all of us, one of the great guys in Chicago sports, Chris Zorich. Look at you. Haven't aged a day.
Thank you. I love you. Look at that. See?
Haven't aged a day.
We actually look like twins.
You know what's funny? Is this, do you know what I call this? The distraction.
I
like that. I haven't heard that one, but I like that.
Great to see you. Congratulations.
Thank you, sir.
How long have you had this gig now?
Exactly 3 months and about 4 days.
It's been a busy couple years for you. Getting married?
Yes, it has.
And a new AD's gig? Who do you,
yes, how do you hiring
like,
coaches.
How do you like being a boss?
Actually, it's the best job in the world, really. I have a chance to use my law degree and be involved in athletics, which I love. And so we have a chance. I mean, folks, parents entrust their children into our care for 4 years.
Right.
That's a huge responsibility.
It's a big deal. Dave?
Well, and this is Chicago State University. You've taken on a big task here.
Yes, I have.
What's been...
I tend to go big. When I was a short D lineman...
Jump in.
Let me go ahead. Oh, the Chicago Bears. Let's do it.
So when you get in the AD's office at Chicago State for the first time, what was the biggest surprise to you that maybe you didn't expect?
The biggest surprise, really, because we were looking for our men's and women's basketball coaches at the time, there were probably about 110 voicemails before I even took the job about, hey, I know somebody, or hey, I want the job. And it was amazing. I mean, I walked in, and there was a stack of those little pink, you know, those little
pink message slips.
Seriously, it was a stack of them. I was like, I just started. Why?
So like, overwhelming. No, but that's great news and overwhelming.
Exactly. And it was a bit overwhelming for the first 3 hours, maybe. And then I was like, I have to go through all these? Oh, my gosh. Right. I'm calling people I don't even know. I'm like,
right.
You left a message a week ago? You know somebody?
Right.
Because how important is it to change culture when you come in as an athletic director? Because Chicago State has seen better days, especially on the women's side. They had a losing streak that was like 59 horrible games straight or something like that.
Yes.
But how important is it for you when you come in as an athletic director to change the culture?
That's the first thing. And it could be Chicago State, it could be University of Illinois, it could be Northwestern, wherever you go. As the head man in the chair, you have to change that culture. Reason being, especially Chicago State, where you've had a dismal kind of athletic performance for some of our teams, most notably our women's basketball team. Unfortunately, they used to hold the record for the longest losing streak for 59 games in NCAA. Right. And that's something we automatically have to change. But that culture really starts from at home, right? You're talking about being in meetings on time, dressing appropriately, making sure we look like a Division I football program, basketball program. Those are the things that are important, and you have to start from the bottom up. You have to start getting folks excited about wanting to come to work, because sometimes it's hard when, you know, you're getting your butt kicked all the time and you're paying folks to beat you up. It's tough. And so really, I mean, you have to change all that culture.
Yeah, you got to believe you want to win, right? You're building it to win. Severick.
Were you aware as a student athlete how much compliance goes into that type of position now versus you having the job of athletic director now? You talked about your law degree, like how much actually that means more than just being an athlete or a good coach or something like that, that being in line with.
Absolutely no clue, which actually is probably good, because you probably as a student athlete, you're not supposed to know all that stuff. I really had no clue. And it wasn't until I graduated from law school where the current athletic director at Duke, Kevin White, we had a conversation about kind of the athletic administration. And he was like, Chris, you have a very interesting background. You've had a chance to play in major college football. You had a chance to play in the pros. You went to law school. You know, you really have a really unique situation. You should think about athletic administration. And I was like, what the heck is athletic administration?
Right.
And really, he's the one who kind of turned me on to it. He hired me at the University of Notre Dame, spent a couple of years there, and really kind of wanted to see what this was all about. And really kind of, so now I'm at Chicago State. I was at the University of Notre Dame. I was at Prairie State College out in Chicago Heights. Really have a chance to combine those two experiences, and that's what's going to make us successful.
I mean, you're really building a nice second career here, and you're doing it in a smart way.
I've been fortunate. I obviously had some ups and downs throughout my football career, and also, unfortunately, some of my personal life. But the idea to, you know, you have a chance to overcome. And you really have a chance to kind of make a difference in the lives of folks. And that's really what I think my calling is. I had a chance when I had my foundation. You were out there a lot
Absolutely.
Of times.
Absolutely.
I mean, I helped, you know, 100,000 people with that thing. And and really, I'm excited now that I have this opportunity, because now I have a chance to concentrate on 170 student athletes. And we have 13 sports, and we want to make all of them successful.
How do we help you? What does the community need to do to help push Chicago State to the next level?
Well, the first thing is, thank you very much for being on the show. The second thing is, they can just go to our website, which is gocsucougars.com.
Mm-hmm.
And all our information is there. Like I said, we have 13 sports. Our current sports right now, we're involved in women's soccer and volleyball. We have our upcoming men's and women's basketball season coming up, which we're very excited about. We actually have a chance to hire some great Chicagoland coaches, and that's something that we're very, very proud about.
And we're talking off the air. We're developing a major schedule shift where every top program will be playing Zurich sometime soon.
Hey, Alabama's, you name it.
Yeah, they're all coming in.
Everybody.
Dave?
Well, you do have challenges in terms of scheduling, and your men's basketball team, I've seen them play pretty much every year. They've played a lot of road games the last few years, and that's not unusual. There are programs which have had to rely on going on the road to get those guaranteed games where they get a paycheck to fund other sports.
Sure.
But is that something you'd like to change the direction, or is that something that's kind of a reality for a program that's trying to gain a stronghold?
Well, that's something that as a philosophy, we want more Chicago teams to play at Chicago State. We have a very beautiful stadium. We seat 7,500 people. Yeah.
You do. It's a really nice facility.
Absolutely. And that's something that, so unfortunately in the past, we've played the majority of our non-conference games away. Well, you know, I want to start,
so come see
us. Relationship going. I've been talking to the AD at UIC. We already have a home game scheduled against Northern Illinois next year.
That's great.
At home. So these are relationships that, one, I want to work, but more importantly, kind of bring folks back and have that city rivalry with Chicago State. And that's really one of the reasons why I took the job, because I just saw it's a gem, and I'd like to be a part of the rebuild.
And it helps everybody. It helps every school involved. It helps the entire community. All right, I got to ask you about the Bears. I've known you for, 25 years.
Plus.
This new rule on how guys are supposed to tackle. Can you play?
Did you see that? Who was it?
The worst
56?
Call I have ever seen.
Oh,
a guy
God.
Used his body weight to drive a quarterback to the ground. No.
It
gravity.
Was a sack. I mean,
it
come
was
on.
Gravity. Is there a way to play, or is this going to be a complete mess all year long?
I think, well, unfortunately, the first example we've seen this year has been that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think now, every time somebody hits a quarterback, everyone's going to look. Obviously, the refs are going to look, but now all the fans, all the players, and it's going to take away from the players. One of the things that we had back way back in the day when I was playing,
called the 90s.
It's a couple of years ago, right?
Yeah, yeah.
We always talked about how if a younger player got a penalty, that was obviously not egregious. I mean, nothing bad. It was just kind of like an accidental late hit or something like that. The veterans would actually pay the fine,
right,
which I thought was really cool because you had young guys trying to be aggressive and wanting to win. But now, you're almost afraid to kind of make that tackle because you don't know what's going to happen. I mean, if somebody puts their head down right before they get hit, which is a normal kind of reaction, and your helmet slightly just touches the helmet, all of a sudden, you're
it's
fine.
It's grown men in real time running into each other. The idea that you're going to tuck him in and read him a story isn't crazy.
And this, again, this is football we are talking about, right? It's a violent sport.
I don't know, man.
I mean, we're gladiators out there. And, if you would expect us to kind of play flag football, take the helmets off.
Yeah, that's right. I'd see it the same way. Listen, great seeing you. Anytime.
Thank you, sir. Absolutely.
The website looks great, by the way. I'm looking at it right now.
Hey, we're trying to make this first class, and I got parting gifts for y'all.
Oh, look at that with the logo.
We got CSU
Sweet.
Swag.
Sweet.
Both in green and white, so y'all can take your pick. But,
great.
You
got a petite for me, right?
Oh, actually, it is an extra small. No, it's actually a medium.
Oh, it's medium. Well, okay. I'll wear it. It'll be loose. Chicago State University Athletics, the great Chris Zurich. GoCSUCougars.com, and we'll do more of this as the future rolls on here with Chris. Back with the match game in a second. So if you want to play match game, 312-981-7200. Next. All right. 312-981-7200. Tony will be the first contestant. And we'll go to contestant number two after that, because that'll be the one after Tony. Two contestants for Match Game at 312-981-7200. But let me start with Tony. And John DeCoste will be here. And you know the way this works. John is a host of the show. John will read you a question. Don't answer it until all the celebrities have locked in with their answer. And there's fabulous prizes on the line here. Santa Tony, John.
Hello, Tony.
Hey, how are you?
Good. You know how to play the game, correct?
I do.
Good. Okay. And I'm going to answer this question and wait for our celebrities. So here we go.
All right, what's the question, ready? John? What's the question?
Northwestern not only named a booth for legend Dave Ennett, inside the stadium this year, they just named a blank in his honor.
Oh, I got this. I've got this.
I'll repeat that again. Northwestern not only named a booth for legend Dave Ennett, inside the stadium this year, they just named a blank.
All right,
in
stand
his
by,
honor.
Tony. Stand by. All right. Everybody got their answer? I'm locked in, John.
Everybody locked in? Mary? I know Mary was late on this. That's okay.
I'm ready.
I'll get you. Mary upstairs? Yes.
Mary Vanderbilt, upstairs. I think you do Look know. At that. I think you
Sideways?
Know.
Sideways?
All right. Everybody in?
Yeah. Okay. Tony, give me your answer.
Alrighty, I got two, but I'm going with toilet.
Thanks, Tom.
Oh, I almost went toilet.
My old friend, Tony.
Well, you should do that out there.
That's nice.
You want to start with me?
Yes, let's go.
Tony's on the board, baby.
Urinal, I will take
urinal,
that.
Yes, that's
urinal,
right. Fits. That's a match.
There you go, Tony.
It's
good.
The Dave Ennett urinal.
You're my friend, right?
Yes, that's exactly right, which is why I think it's so thrilling that they named a urinal after you.
Yes.
That counts, Coffin, right?
Justin Coffin.
Oh, yeah, you're in, buddy. That's
I was
one.
Wrong. I was wrong. I said farmer's market.
That's good.
like a kale concession stand.
Actually, that's not a bad answer.
Yeah. But you said inside the answer. Stadium.
No, have you been inside the stadium?
They have farmer's markets,
A farmer's market.
Mary Sandberg, yes.
A bench.
A bench.
I was busy folding the Chris Thorne's t-shirt.
I won't say that. You were distracted.
That's okay. That's right. Dave Ennett.
I should have recused myself from the question.
That's a good point.
Water fountain.
Okay.
Yeah, you definitely
some people use that as a toilet.
There you go.
There you go.
It's in the toilet
point.
Family.
Mary Vanderbilt.
Well, another Dave stereotype, but I don't even know if they have this in the stadium. A bar.
Oh,
that would be good.
Thanks,
that would
Mary.
Be really good.
Sorry, Dave. Yeah, you like your beer.
And did Grzanich play?
I did. I have a goalpost.
Oh,
Steve,
goal
that post. Makes sense.
Yes,
that's very nice. Right.
But miraculously, we still have one match.
Yeah, and you know what? The great news, Tony, is we don't have time to go to our other caller, so you're an automatic winner.
Hey!
Congratulations.
I would like to hear Dave Ennett call a ball going through the Dave Ennett goalpost.
Yeah. What would that sound like, Dave? It's a 30-yard field goal. It's at the end of the game, and they've got to kick it through the Dave Ennett goalpost.
30-yard field 30 goal.
30 yards, yeah.
For the win, straight off kick, kicking towards the south end zone, and my goalpost. Here's the snap. The kick is on the way to the... Made, dare I say it, Dave Ennett goalpost, and it's good.
Oh, the hang time on that kick was unbelievable.
So would you call that kick the Ennett, or?
Look at you, man. Tony, okay, we got to get Tony his own
we're
show.
We're friends again, Tony.
All right, Tony, hold the line, buddy. I've got a Lou Malnati's gift certificate for you. LouMalnati's.com, an app gift card at app.com, and a gift certificate to Golf Center Des Plaines at GolfCenterDesPlaines.com. That is literally tens of dollars in prizes. Congratulations, Tony. We're back with the headlines next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Well, I got me a five. I forgot me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on the riddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy.
Because he's been a friend for so long, I won't ask Orion the question. Is there something you don't want your kids or your grandkids to know that you did? Chris, he's the one that told me he was tossing dynamite on New Year's Eve. Remember that story?
Yeah. Well, no, that was 4th of July when my dad threw a stick of dynamite over the bluff.
Here's a few more, from the 219. I never want my son to know where his mother's mouth has been. From the 931, I never want my kids to know that their father, my ex-husband, used to be a stripper in college.
Mm. Pay your bills.
Everybody's got to have an inactivity.
God, this is like my life.
And then there's this perspective from the 6-year-old. I'm not ashamed of anything I've done. I've done almost everything you've mentioned and more. I've traveled the world in the United States Marines. I'll share it all with my 4-year-old son, Quinn. But not while he's 4. So there you go. Oh, anything you want to confess?
Nope.
That's why you're Orion Samuelson. Yeah, you're not going to just buy into that. How are you, sir?
Well, I'm doing fine. Thank you. Had a full week last week with the Arlington Million and then, of course, down at the Illinois State Fair on Tuesday. And it was a great Salute to Agriculture Day. A couple of things worth remembering about Salute to Agriculture. State of Illinois is 200 years old this year.
Right.
But there are two farms in Illinois that have been in the same family for 200 years. We have two bicentennial farms. And to me, that's just amazing. You know, the way land changes hands and companies change hands for one family to keep a farm in that family for 200 years, just phenomenal.
Eighth generation.
Yeah. That is amazing.
And the other thing that surprised me last week at the Salem Grand Champions, these 4-H kids are getting younger all the time as they take these animals into the show ring. We had a Grand Champion exhibitor 11, 12, 14, and 15 years old. And, you know, for a 14-year-old to get $60,000 for his Grand Champion steer and suddenly have that much money in his bank account, wow.
Yeah, that's pretty good. And yeah, I think you told us last week these kids generally invest in the next year, right?
They do, yes. Most of them will invest in another animal that they'll feed and take care of and treat very well to possibly take into the show ring next year. So they invest in college education and invest in an animal for next year.
Is there a taxes on that prize, Orion?
That's a good point. To Illinois, I bet there is.
Yeah, I'll bet there is,
too. $60,000, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure there is. I never had a $60,000 animal, so I can't speak with experience. But I think the closest I got was a calf for $75.
There you go. Orion, we saw some news this week, some farming news around General Mills and Quaker Oats when it came to the cereal, the idea of herbicides, an environmental study that said that herbicides were making its way into the cereal that we eat, and they were worried about these were the same chemicals that were in the Roundup weed killer. When we talk about this idea of herbicides in our food and our harvests, what do we need to know about this?
I don't think we know enough, you know, on the herbicide situation. At least 150 studies have been done worldwide on the ingredient glyphosate, and I don't think they reached a conclusion that it did cause cancer. So we have to keep studying, and the benefit to GMOs that we have is with a GMO inserted into seed corn, soybean seed, or whatever, we don't have to use nearly as much chemical to control weeds and to control bugs. But people overlook that, and I'm still looking for a death certificate that says died because of consuming GMO food. Haven't seen one.
No, it doesn't exist. It does not exist. What about the markets today? What are we looking at?
We're still waiting for the meeting that starts tomorrow in Washington, the lower-level negotiators, trade, China, and the United States. At least they're talking. And so I think it'll be a fairly quiet day today because of the uncertainty over what could happen in that meeting. And there's talk we may see progress in the NAFTA negotiations by the end of the week. But I've heard that for quite a few weeks over the last year or so, so I'll wait till it happens. But it'll be interesting to see what's going to happen in the China-U.S. discussion.
Sure. John Tato.
Hello, Orion. How are you?
Hello, John.
Before I ask my question, I just want everybody to know, on the tote board, it's 57 days since Orion has not contacted me. So
right?
I know what the over and under is on that. But here's my legitimate...
When do you start taking a hint that he's not calling you back?
I should have taken it a long time ago. He's
I think I'll remedy that situation today.
Okay. No, okay. I'm
Please know I'm kidding. So here's my question. You know, I am a huge fan of the Mee Rye. Am I saying that correct? Uh-huh. Corn.
But yeah, Mee Rye.
They have two kinds. They have the one, you know, that's just all yellow, and then the other one is like speckled with like white and yellow or something. Is there any difference between those as far as taste?
Not to my knowledge. No difference to the sweet corn because of color. Certainly because of the variety. And, you know, Mee Rye was developed on the Twin Garden Farms up at Harvard, Illinois. Quite an accomplishment.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We got a text here that says, please ask Orion what happens to the $60,000 animal. Does it go to stud?
Well,
I mean, it's a cow. It's not going to stud.
It'll probably wind up as filet mignon on somebody's table.
Yeah, a very expensive set of steaks.
Yes, right.
Yeah, because, you know, that's the point. And some very expensive milk, if it's a cow, I suppose, on the other side.
And as far as the champion animals, they were donated to the University of Illinois Animal Science Department. So.
Oh, there you go. All right, yeah, so that's good. And I know this isn't really a confession, but one of my favorite Orion stories that I don't think you know, Justin, is when he was a boy and things would get a little slow pre-internet in the barn, and he'd be milking the cows, there'd be a lot of barn cats around. And he got very skilled at positioning the udders of the cows in a particular way where he could shoot the milk a considerable distance at the cats and have the cats enjoy the milk.
Cats would stand on their hind legs to catch wow. the stream of milk coming from the cow's udder.
Imagine that reality show.
You know, one of my high points of this show is several years ago, we were fortunate to have one of the, I think, the winning steer call in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's
yes.
right. That's right.
And
that's right.
I just remember sitting here watching, as he the steer was attending the University of Illinois for orientation. I just remember Orion, when I saw him, he was wiping his tears out of his eyes.
Yeah.
Well, it was a great moment.
The look on Orion's face when he actually has a sense of what we're doing on this yes. show is always quite impressive. All right, my friend, all the best. Thank you.
Best to you. Talk to you next week.
From the Allstate Skyline Studio,
the Steve Cochran Show
on 720
WGN. I hope you caught that on CLTV. Friday night, John, we're doing stand-up.
We are. We are doing stand-up.
Stand-up comedy, kids.
Stand-up comedy, yes. I apologize.
Bill, are you going to be at that show?
Nope.
Yeah. I know. Bill, we are going to be at Zany's out at Pheasant Run. One show, 8 o'clock. You, me, and from the WGN Morning Show. And Bill Leff will not be in attendance
that day.
Mike Toomey, though. Mike Toomey
Mike's
will be
gonna
there.
Be there.
And, Bill, you can attest to how funny Mike Toomey is.
The best that's ever been.
Yeah. He's really good.
He is the best the city's really ever good. Produced.
Are you working on the show Friday, or you're going to be on the road?
I'll be in tennis? Indianapolis playing tennis.
Yeah, your tennis tournament is Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. And if you win there, you move on to the
national
finals?
Yes. We play on Neptune for the quadrant championship.
It's very exciting.
Yeah.
Hey, Super Joe, which is a better clip, the MSNBC montage or the CNN montage? You let me know. And, well, you could actually surprise me, I guess, whenever you're ready. I wanted to play something for you before we run out of time. It's a montage of... Well, it's a battle against reality that's going on in the Trump White House. Whenever you're ready, hit it. And it went like this.
The press secretary gave alternative facts to that.
In a situation like this, you have, over time, facts develop. It's somebody's version of the truth, not the truth. Truth isn't truth.
Alternative facts.
Facts develop. Truth isn't truth.
Alternative facts.
Facts develop. Truth isn't truth.
It's kind of a hip-hop rap sort of thing.
Put a beat under that?
The only reason I wanted to play that there at the end of the show is we really haven't had too much time for me to go off on Trump today, so I wanted to make sure I got
I thought you were setting up Bill and Wendy.
You can do that if you want to.
No, I'm not taking it.
Thanks to the texters. Text question of the day, was there anything you really hope your kids or your grandkids don't know you did and never find out? Either one of you?
I got too many. I really can't pinpoint it.
Wendy says the 90s.
The entire decade.
And the 80s.
Bill doesn't want his kids to know, his daughters to know that he collects toys.
Yeah, trying to hold that back from
it's
them.
It's a good secret.
Yep.
815 says, I skinny dipped with two men. 708. I know there's something, but I can't remember. You know, it just goes on and on.
But don't you think it would be helpful to tell our kids and grandkids so they know that you can be dumb and you can overcome your mistakes?
Or don't be stupid like your father
that
or grandfather.
Too.
Right,
yeah,
right.
I totally agree. So, Bill, go ahead.
R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
I don't have any.
Not one.
No.
I've known you long enough to know that you do.
I don't have any that we can talk about.
That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
What are you doing on the show today, Wendy?
Trying to remember all the things I don't want my kids to know that I've done, because, boy, there are a few.
Yeah, I got a few that I could tell you about. I don't know if you remember them.
Yeah, no, not for air. We're going to talk about gross anatomy in women, just to embarrass everyone.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are Kathy and Judy coming in?
No, but we should have had them guest starring for this.
How uncomfortable are you going to be?
I can't wait to see them.
That'll all be right. Fun.
Yeah.
You'll see.
And it's a Tech Tuesday. And
do you even know how the girl parts work, Bill?
Not entirely, no.
Okay, good. Good. It's probably best that you don't know.
Steve, you know what I forgot to tell you? You're my macho, and I love you.
Thank you. I love you back. I'm off for a couple days. I'll see you Friday, and Justin will take care of the festivities till then. Here is Wendy.